Do you love to hear comeback stories? A comeback story is one in which a person or team or thing was counted out, lost, forgotten, or rejected, but then through miraculous circumstances is able to come back and win again. Well, if you love comeback stories, you'll love the story of the Judean date palm. You see, at one time, the Judean date palm was everywhere in Israel. For thousands of years, it was prized by the Jews for its beauty, shade, and fruit. It was even reported to have medicine properties to cure diseases. In fact, the Judean date palm was so prominent, it soon became a recognized symbol of the kingdom of Judah. There were so many Judean date palms around the city of Jericho, it turned that small town into a large population center. The Bible even mentions the date palm in Psalm 92. Yet sadly, all that changed when the Romans conquered Judea. When they destroyed the temple in 70 AD, the date palm crop was also destroyed. And over time, as the population suffered through wars, destruction, and poverty, the date palm suffered too. Eventually, the unthinkable happened. The date palm, which is at one time so prominent, actually became extinct. There was not a single Judean date palm tree left anywhere in the world. Well, it looked as if that was the end for the Judean date palm. No one would ever enjoy its fruit or shade again. But then in 1965, something amazing happened. Archaeologists were digging around the site of the temple in Jerusalem when they made a discovery. While digging through the temple ruins, they uncovered a clay jar. Inside were seeds from the date palm. Could it be that these seeds still had life in them? The date palm seeds had been tucked away underground for nearly 2,000 years. They had no air, no water, no sunshine. They were lost, forgotten, rejected, neglected, and forsaken. Buried in a clay jar in the ground, it seemed impossible that they could grow again. But the truth is, there is an amazing power inside every seed. It's the power of life. It's the power to multiply. A scientist took seeds from that clay jar. He planted them in soil and tended and gave it fertilizer. And to his surprise, one of them germinated. The Judean date palm, extinct from the earth for 1,800 years, was suddenly back, full of life, full of flowers, and ready to multiply again. Today, that date palm stands 2.5 meters high. It's been nicknamed Methuselah, after the man in the Bible who lived longer than anyone else. Methuselah is remarkable in that it is the oldest known seed to have germinated. That's the power of a seed. Though it lay dead and dormant, hidden for thousands of years, nevertheless, the power of the seed could not be stopped. For no matter what was done to the seed, the power and potential still remained inside. And in this story of the seed, we see a lesson for our own lives. For you see, the power of a seed is a principle that God wants to use in your life today. When you discover the secret power of the seed and begin to implement those principles of the seed, then your life will multiply. That's the powerful truth we're going to discover in today's episode of Revelation. And welcome to the program. It's great to be with you once again. Thank you for sharing this time with me. I believe God has something in store for you today as we learn the truth from God's Word. Our scripture text for today is found in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. Then Jesus said, "What can I use to show you what God's kingdom is like? What story can I use to explain it?" Well, God's kingdom is like a mustard seed, which is smaller than any other seed on earth that you can plant. But when you plant it, it grows and becomes the largest of all the plants in your garden. It has branches that are very big. The wild birds can come and make nests there and be protected from the sun. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today in Jesus' name. You know, as we look at Mark chapter 4, let me give you some context. In this passage, Jesus has just begun His ministry and His teaching. He's had plenty of time to plan and prepare His message. He's giving us foundational messages that will indicate to us and identify His teaching and His truths that will form an understanding of the new covenant He's come to bring. He's teaching us about His new way of serving God. And here's the first thing He starts out with. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Jesus begins His ministry with fundamental teaching that starts talking about His kingdom, and He relates that kingdom to a seed? Doesn't that seem strange to you? Jesus is relating his Father's kingdom of power and glory to something so small and insignificant as a seed. If you don't take time, you won't understand. But when you understand the power and the principles of the seed, you will unlock the mysteries of God's kingdom. You see, a seed seems so small. It looks so hopeless. It doesn't seem to possess power. Yet all the power of the harvest is in that seed. All the potential of the end is in the seed. It's the power to multiply. And here's the revelation of what Jesus is saying. By likening his kingdom to a seed, he's telling us the fundamental truth of multiplication and how it relates to you and I. You may not value the truth about multiplication. You may not think it's a major doctrine of the church, but you're wrong. God wants to multiply. He wants to multiply his kingdom. He wants to multiply your life. He wants to multiply his church. But in order for that to happen, there's something we need to understand. That's why Jesus taught this parable, and that's why I'm teaching you today. You've got to discover the three principles of the seed so that you can begin to experience the power of God's kingdom, the power of multiplication in your own life. So here's the first principle you need to understand today. Number one, the type of seed determines the type of harvest. Listen again to Mark chapter 4, verse 32. Jesus said, "The seed grows and becomes the largest of all the plants." Now, the fact is this. Jesus taught us that the smallest seed grows into the biggest plant. How is that possible? Because the outcome of the seed has nothing to do with external matters. The outcome of the seed results from the inside of the seed. What's inside that seed is going to come out, no matter what it looks like, no matter what is done to it. You cannot determine the size of the harvest from the size of the seed. For every seed has within it the power and potential to be what God created it to be. You see, when a seed has greatness inside of it, the greatness is going to come out. When a seed has flowers in it, those flowers are going to come out. What's inside the seed will be what's inside the harvest. The nature of the seed determines the nature of the harvest. And here's the good news for you. You have greatness inside of you. God has created you in his image. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you're a child of God, then his seed is in you. For 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." See, friend, when you are born again by the seed of God's Word, you've got an imperishable, eternal, God-made seed in you. You've got the power and potential of the whole kingdom of God inside of you. So it doesn't matter where you start. It's where you're going that counts. Men may have counted you out, but you've got power in you. With Jesus in you, you've got potential in you. If a seed can produce a mighty harvest, then what can your life produce? If the smallest seed, Jesus said, can grow into the biggest tree, then it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter how small you seem. It doesn't matter how insignificant your life has been up to now. You may be as small as a mustard seed, but you are going somewhere because you've got the imperishable seed of God's Word inside of you. Somebody say amen. That's why the Bible tells us in Zechariah 4:10, "Do not despise those small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." You see, the problem for many of us is that too often when our seed looks small, we don't sow it at all. We hold on to it because we think it can't do anything great. But the truth is, no seed, no harvest. No matter how small your seed is or how great it may be, you will never get a harvest without that seed. That's why I say to you today, all you need is a seed. A lot of people today have this problem right now. They don't really know what they need. Maybe you're like that. What you need is not what you think. You might think today, but I need a harvest. You might think today, I need this or that. You're chasing after everything you think you need, but you're frustrated because even if you get what you think you need, it's not what you really need. It doesn't satisfy. You think you need a harvest, but all you really need is a seed. For the harvest will come when the seed is planted, and the seed has the power in it. the potential of the harvest is in the seed already. And the fact is, God works with the principle of the seed and harvest. Genesis 8:22 tells us that God said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. So this is a law of God. God doesn't give us a harvest without a seed. But here's the good news for you. God always gives a seed. You may not realize it right now, but you have more than you think. You have the potential for a harvest with you right now because you have a seed. We all have a seed. We have, for example, a seed of faith. For Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We all have a seed we can plant. We have a seed of time. We all have 24 hours in the same day. We have a seed of truth given to us by God. We have a seed of love as He plants His love in our hearts. We have a seed of money. We have a seed of words. In fact, everything in your hand is a seed, but everything in God's hand is a harvest. So this brings the challenge for you and I today. There are good seeds and bad seeds. We've all got a seed. We've all got potential for greatness, but the type of seed will determine the type of harvest. So if you plant a bad seed, you're going to reap a bad harvest. If you plant a good seed, you'll reap a good harvest. That's why you need to take heed to your seed. Every seed produces after its kind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:38 says, a different plant grows from each kind of seed. So if every seed produces after its kind, what type of seeds are you sowing? Some of you today are so busy sowing bad seed, you can't sow any good seed. And you'll get the harvest according to the seed you sow. You sow bad words and you reap a bad harvest. You sow your money into bad investments, you're going to reap a bad return. Galatians 6:7 says, you will always harvest what you plant. Reminds me of the story of a poor man named Kwakame. He came from a very poor family. He had no chance to go to school or to learn a trade, so he decided to become a farmer. But when Kwakame wanted a land to farm, his family didn't have any available to give him. So Kwakame was forced to go and lease a land to farm from a wealthy man in his village. The owner agreed to lease the land to Kwakame for 10 years. And in return, Kwakame agreed to share a portion of his crop every year to the landowner. Well, Kwakame started farming the land. He worked long hours year after year and made the farm a model of its kind. He removed all the weeds and stones and thistles and trees. He used fertilizer to make the ground rich. He used all the best farming techniques to make the crops grow and yield the most produce from the land. And every harvest, Kwakame gave the portion of his crops to the landowner. Then one day at the end of the 10 years, the owner told Kwakame he needed the land for his son to farm. Well, Kwakame was greatly upset and tried his best to convince the owner to lease the land to him again. He had put so much effort into the land and had made it so rich and fertile, he was desperate to get the owner to agree to lease the land to him again. But it was in vain. The owner refused. Kwakame had to leave the land. In great anger, Kwakame decided to seek revenge. He'd worked for 10 years to make this land the best farmland in the entire region. If he could not enjoy the fruit of his labor any longer, then he would make sure no one else could either. So on the night before he had to vacate the property, Kwakame went through the fields sowing seeds of thorns and weeds and thistles. He scattered all through the farm destructive seeds that would ensure that any farmer working that land would suffer great toil and trouble to produce any crop at all. But the next morning, as Kwakame was about to leave the land for the last time, the owner appeared. He said this, "You know, Kwakame, I've changed my mind," the owner said. "I considered all these long years you've labored so hard here, and I've decided to let you stay on this land as long as you like." And suddenly, Kwakame shouted, "Oh my God, what a fool I've been." But it was too late. The seeds had been sown, and the damage had been done. For you see, friend, the seed you plant is the crop that will grow. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So, what type of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing seeds that will reap good harvests? Are you sowing seeds of peace and love or discord and disunity? Are you sowing seeds of greed or generosity? Are you sowing seeds to the flesh or to the spirit? For you need to make sure today you're sowing good seeds into good soil. You need to make sure you're investing in God's priorities, not man's priorities. For the type of seed determines the type of harvest. That's our first principle. Now, here's the second. The type of sowing determines the type of reaping. Listen to our text again. But when you plant it, Jesus said. For you see, if you don't sow it, you won't reap it. The seed has all the power. It has all the potential. But until it is planted, it remains alone. Right now, to be quite frank, a lot of people watching this program have a lot of seed that they're holding on to. But your seed won't produce anything until it is sown. You have to give it away. You have to cast your bread upon the waters. You have to release what is in your hand. That's the truth found in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible tells us plainly the way you sow determines the way you reap. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. And friend, I didn't say it, God said it. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. That's why I speak a blessing into your life today in the name of Jesus. I speak to you that as you give, God is going to give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're going to be blessed beyond measure. You're going to receive God's supply. And I speak by faith to you today that God is going to supply, increase and enlarge you as you give. You're going to multiply. For if you take what He's placed in your hand and sow it in faith into His kingdom, He's going to replenish your seed and restore what you've given. You will not run out of seed. Your capital will not run dry. Your account will not run empty. And your harvest will surely come. Lift up your hands and say amen. But the key is, you have to give first. You can't reap unless you sow. No sowing, no reaping, no giving, no blessing. But when you do give, when you do sow, when you do scatter your seed, you are guaranteed to be blessed. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I have wondered if that's really what God meant. It seems too good to be true. I mean, did Jesus really say that? But over and over in the scripture, the same truth is repeated. Proverbs 22:9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I've experienced this powerful truth in my own life for over 38 years. I've been faithful by His grace in tithes and offering, and I've never seen God fail me yet. I've had times when things might have been tight, but I've never gone without food. I've never gone without shelter. I've never gone without clothing or transportation. I've never gone without the basic needs of life. God has kept me in faith for over 38 years. And I know there are many of you watching today who could testify of the same goodness of God. He's blessed you. His word is true. Yet let us never forget that all these blessings have come as we've obeyed His word. As long as we do our part, God will do His part. But that truth brings us to a challenge. If God has been good to us, and if He blesses us when we're generous and give freely, then what is preventing you from going to the next level in your giving? If the promises are true, and we found them to be true in our lives, then why don't we increase our generosity? Why don't we keep getting more and more generous as we give more and more to God? You see, the Bible does not put a cap on God's blessings. There's no passage that says that there's a limit to the blessing of the Lord on the generous. In fact, Luke 6:38 that we just read makes it clear. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I hear God challenging you today. You've given a little and you've seen what I can do. You've been faithful in your tithe and offering and you've experienced my blessing. Now I challenge you to take the next step of faith and grow in your generosity. Move into a new realm of faith and give more than you thought possible. Let me ask you a question today. Are you more generous today than you were last year? Sadly, there are so many of us today who are not as generous as we used to be. When we were young Christians, we used to give freely because we'd just been saved and we were so excited about serving Jesus Christ. But then, as time has gone by, our generosity has reduced. But remember, friends, the moment you stop sowing is the moment your harvest begins to fail. So I say to you today, God has blessed you thus far through giving. He promises to bless the generous. So why stay in the same place you've been at for the past 5 years? Why not start to move forward and do something new in faith today to stretch yourself and to enter a new realm of generosity? And that brings us to the third principle of the seed. The measure of your faith determines the measure of your fruit. Hear once again Jesus' words from our text in Mark 4. He said, "It has branches that are very big. The wild birds can come and make nests there and be protected from the sun." And here's the exciting conclusion to Jesus' parable. The smallest seed brought forth the biggest tree. But it wasn't just any tree. It was a tree that brought shade and blessing to others. It was a tree big enough for birds to nest in. It was a tree that multiplied its influence and impact. You see, when God's word works in you, it will produce even more than enough for you. It will make a way for you to be a blessing to others. God doesn't just want to do something in your life. He wants to use you to do something in the lives of others as well. You see, you never know what God can do with a seed. With faith, your harvest can exceed expectation. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 9, 29. He said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And it takes faith to sow a seed, but when you sow in faith, your fruit will exceed expectation. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11 says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Friend, did you hear what the Bible says? He gives seed to the sower. He doesn't promise seed to the hoarder. He doesn't promise seed for the miser or the greedy. He will give seed to sow when you're a sower. He gives to those who give. You've got a seed in your hand today. If you sow it generously, you will reap generously. If you step out in faith, it will produce a fruit that will exceed your expectation. So why not offer yourselves to God today? First, give Him your heart and give Him your life. And then take the seeds He's given you, the seed of faith, the seed of time, the seed of love, the seed of your words, the seed of your money, and sow it generously into God's kingdom, so that He will multiply the seed into a harvest of blessing in your life. Thank you once again for joining me today on Revelation. We're in the midst of a teaching series called Multiply. Last week we saw the power of a team. This week the power of the seed. And don't miss next week's episode as we find the power of a witness in your life. I want to encourage you today to go to my website at www.revrcw.com. There you're going to find the teaching notes for all these lessons on Multiply. You're going to be able to download or watch the videos online in case you missed an episode. You can listen to the audio. You can experience the blessings of truth for today, all at RevRCW.com. I hope you'll visit today. I hope you'll share that website with a friend, post it on your Facebook page, tweet it through Twitter, or in some way get the message out. There's truth for today available to you and to all for free at RevRCW.com. Thank you once again for joining me today. I pray this lesson has been a blessing to you. I encourage you to give as you're led by God in faith. And I know God is going to bless you with a mighty harvest. Until next week, may God in His love be with you. I'll see you again soon.